So what have you learned? You've learned two things. You've learned how to intensify your desire. And by the way, you might not want to do that with this food because it's not good for you, but maybe you want to intensify your desire for broccoli or for salad or for something that's really good for you, and you now know one of the ways to go about it. Simultaneously, you've learned a critical skill, how to lower your sense of urgency, your urge or your desire for a food, how to not only lower it but eliminate it and replace it with negative sensations, the desire to avoid the food. And by the way, you can use this in other areas of your life as well. So what have we really done? We've done a two-step process, and I want you to use this from now on whenever you start to feel like you're out of control. And the first step I call deprivation substitution. Whenever you start to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss out. Oh my gosh, I got to have this, or I'm going to lose the opportunity, or I'm going to lose the general feeling, or I got to have it right now. Right then, you got to know that you're operating in an irrational way. You're starting to get in a fear of loss, fear of deprivation. You've got to begin to teach yourself that not having this right now does not equal pain, that if you have this right now, it's going to equal pain. And the way you do that is ask yourself the question, if I eat this, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to cost me in my self-esteem? What's it going to cost me in my body? What's it going to do to me? If I eat this right now, what do I have to give up in order to have the things I want? If I eat this right now, how much longer will it take to get to my goals? If I eat this right now, how am I going to feel when I'm done about myself? How am I going to feel when other people ask me how I'm doing on my commitment to create the body I deserve? See, if you ask those questions, you'll interrupt the pattern. You'll begin to do it. And then you can use some of your other tools to get it where it's a real negative, where you start to mix it in with, let's say, some kind of alcohol you can't stand. You think of the image of mixing the alcohol with that, or you think of your dog drooling all over the chocolate. As he drools all over the chocolate, it's less desirable. You can change your focus, whatever it takes. But then, the second thing you want to do, you don't want to just eliminate the deprivation. You don't want to just substitute one pain for another, i.e., eating it right now will be much more painful than not eating it. You want to then enrich your life. The way you do that is you ask yourself, what could I do right now that would really give me even more pleasure? Maybe what you want to do right now is go visit with somebody you love. Or maybe you want to pick up a book that's fascinating, it's got some ideas. Or maybe you want to make a phone call and connect with somebody you love. Maybe you need to ask yourself, what do I really want right now? How do I really want to feel right now instead of what do I want to eat? That might help you. Maybe what you really need to do is take a deep breath because you're just feeling all stressed and pressured out. Maybe what it is you're cutting on the stress. Take a deep breath and relax. Maybe you need to go for a walk. Maybe you need to take a shower, jump in the pool or the jacuzzi. Maybe you need to go brush your teeth and just break your pattern. Maybe you need to think about how much you're loved or what you're really happy about in your life or what you're really grateful for or who you love or who loves you. Maybe you need to change your focus in that way. In other words, don't just take away the food. Give yourself the gift in that moment of the emotion you really want. It's the only reason you're eating. You're just trying to change your emotional state. You're just trying to get a feeling. So think of what's the feeling you really want. You don't want a stuffed feeling. You don't want a feeling of being full and bloated. You don't want a feeling of sticking something in your stomach and saying, I gave this to myself like some child. You're an adult. I want you to see that these unhealthy eating patterns are depriving you of what you really want. That's exactly what's doing it. That's why you're listening to this tape. Because you know that what you've done up until now has deprived you of the emotional pride and the energy and the vitality you deserve. That's what we're talking about with the body you deserve. So I want you to know that not eating something is the first step to giving yourself what you really desire. Nothing tastes as good as thin feels. Nothing tastes as good as being fit and strong and alive. Nothing tastes as good as the pride of knowing you're the one shaping your own life. And so you got to remember that. You got to start giving to yourself. So ask yourself some questions and change your emotional state. Go do something for yourself. Go to one of these little racetracks and jump one of these little racers and go out and race. Do something outrageous. Do something weird. Do something bizarre. Do something fun. Give yourself something that will enrich your life. And if that includes eating something, that may be appropriate. Maybe you really are hungry. Just ask yourself, what could I have right now that would be delicious and good for me? Something that would be delicious and light. I don't want to feel heavy and lethargic. What would be delicious and light that would nourish me, give me vitality? What could I enjoy? If you've already seen the price of the other food, you'll come up with something nice, a salad or some juice or some fruit or something alive for you. And you want to be alive, eat live foods. And see, that's a natural thing. And then you're giving to yourself. You're not taking away. I want you to be better to yourself. See, my whole goal in doing this is not for you to leave this tape program saying, I'm so much more disciplined, I'm so much more in control, I'm controlling myself. I don't want you to control yourself. I want you to be nicer to yourself. I want you to give to yourself. I want you to expand your choices and create the enrichment you're pursuing so intensely and you never, ever, ever will get from merely food. Food will never do it by itself. But the connection with people, the sense of progress, the sense of growth, the sense that you're in charge, the sense that you're nourishing yourself, the sense that your energy is expanding, the sense that you're loved, these feelings, that's what you really want. Give them to yourself. No one else can give them to you. Make the arrangements to make it happen. So your assignment's simple. I want you to sit down. I want you to write a whole list of things right now, as soon as Dr. Nate takes you over. In fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give him the assignment to work with you on it. But I'll tell you right now up front, the first assignment's going to be real simple. I want you to make a whole list of goodies, a whole list of things that you can give yourself instead of food that'll change how you feel. Make a list. Do you know how to make yourself feel good? Have you ever sat down and made a whole list of ways? Most people don't know how to make themselves feel good except to drink a beer or to smoke a cigarette or to eat some food or sit down in front of the boob tube. Most of us just need more choices. Now, what could you do instead? Maybe it's sitting down and listening to a great piece of music. Maybe it's going sitting down with your children and really pushing everything else out of the door and going, maybe going for a walk with them and asking them what's going on in their life. Maybe it's just getting curious about what's really going on in your life. Maybe it's sitting down with your journal and writing yourself a love note, saying, you know, I really love you. You're great in the following ways. And it sounds hokey maybe to you, but I'll tell you what, you deserve it. Some of these little things you think are hokey might be exactly what you need. You know, what could you do? Make a whole list of ways to change your state. Maybe it's just going and being the person you love and giving them a big hug. Maybe it's going for a walk on the beach or watching a sunset. Maybe it's just going outside and taking some deep breaths. What could you do for yourself? Make a whole list of these things. So next time you need to change your state, you got a whole menu to pull from, but the menu beyond the mere stimulus response, animalistic approach to stuffing your face with some food, you deserve better. So does your body. Certainly your spirit does. So that's your assignment. How can you break the urges? Simple. Let me offer you a couple quick tools. Let me turn you over to Dr. Nate Booth. And I think I broke my promise. I said this was going to be a short tape, but I got going on this thing. It was really important. I promise these next ones are going to be shorter. It's just I want to make sure I give you everything I can. And we only have these few days together because I want you to have more than just change your body. I want you to change your life. I want you to give yourself the gifts you deserve. So here are a couple things you can do. I frame them as ways of breaking your state. They're urge crunchers. Some of these review a little bit of what Dr. Booth has been sharing with you, but here's how I look at it. I frame these as a series of phrases, and they all form an acronym, and the acronym is I Can Do It. As simplistic as it is, here's what it stands for, and it's designed to give you ways to break your pattern. When you start getting caught up in those urges, here's some quick, simple things you can do to remember to break your pattern. The first one says, I control the urge, and I'm winning and smiling about it. And the I, that's what the I stands for. Each of these letters will stand for a phrase. They all come up to I can do it. So the first one is I. I control the urge. I'm winning and smiling. How do we do this? Step one, you're going to do what we just did with this food. I want you to do it several times. That's how you get good at anything. And you might want to do this with a friend. You might want to guide them through it and fascinate them. Say, sit down here with me. Look at this food. How much do you want on a scale from minus 10 to plus 10? So I was talking to this Robbins guy the other day, and he showed me this little technique. Let's see if it works on you. And just sit down and have them do it. And watching other people, you'll learn other people's strategies and you'll learn a little bit about yourself. And get them to increase it to 10 and get them to drop it down to 0. Find out how they do it. Get fascinated. Do it with your kids. You can help your kids immensely by doing this. And by the way, the more you teach other people this stuff, the more aware you're going to be about yourself. You know, one of the best ways to really utilize something is to teach somebody else. Because in order to teach it, you got to really apply it even more directly in your own life. So sit down and do it yourself. And I would do this for a minimum of the next 7 days, once a day. You know what I want you to do? Take some of these foods and increase and decrease your desire for them. Maybe what you want to do is spend your time decreasing your desire for foods that you don't want and really get good at that, and maybe increasing your desire for foods that maybe right now, they don't enthrall you, but you know eating them would be nutritious and light and good for you. If you practice this habit and you do it for a minimum of 7 days, or at least one food a day, your brain will start doing this automatically and you're going to remember and know you're in control. So remember, I control the urge, I'm winning and smiling. What's the I'm winning part? Well, this is the second way to break your pattern. Next time you start saying, oh man, I'm on this diet, or oh man, I got to put this off. You're not on a diet. You got a lifestyle. You're creating a way to enjoy more of your life. You may be eating more than you were before, but you're cleansing your system. Your body's not using all its energy trying to break down miscombined foods that are so concentrated with no water, for example. So you're having probably lots of fruit. So don't get into this deprivation game with yourself. And anytime you don't have something, instead of saying, oh, I'm giving that up, don't give anything up. Say, I'm winning. Remind yourself when you start to go, oh, I don't know this. Anytime you say no to something, say no because I'm winning. And use that phrase inside and put that in your physiology where you feel strong, where you feel alive, where every time you make a positive choice, you anchor in your body what it really means. It means you're winning not to put that fat on your body. It means you're winning not to miscombine those foods. It means you're winning not to have some of those flesh foods. It means you're winning not to have so much of that dairy. It means you're winning not to have that salt and sugar and all that junk in your system. That's winning. That's being alive. That's creating the body you deserve. That's winning the game called life. So remember you do that. And the other thing is if you start to feel like really hungry, just smile real big. I know it sounds stupid, But do it, because I got news for you. When you smile, what you create is a tourniquet effect, which literally causes a stimulation of additional blood in the area of your brain where neurotransmitters are fired off and you create pleasure. I know that sounds real technical, but it's been proven by neuroscientists that just by changing your facial expression, you immediately change your state. Learn to smile for no good reason, just because you want to smile. Give yourself that pleasure. You'll taste better than that big fat chocolate chip cookie that's probably stale anyway, full of fat and sugar and junk, and it's going to clog your pores and make you feel like heck because it'll make your blood sugar go up and drop back down again, and you wonder why you're moody. You get the idea? I control the urge. I'm winning and smiling. That's the first one. Here's the C in the can part. C stands for counterfeit. We've talked about counterfeit feelings. Just remember, counterfeits don't control. They go away is what they do. Whenever you start to feel that, if it's not a true physical urge to eat, then all it is counterfeit. If you just distract yourself, if you get involved in something else, the urge to eat will disappear. You've had that happen, right? You think, oh, I got to eat, and somebody comes to ask you a question, or all of a sudden you have to work on a project, and you get immersed, or you got to make a phone call. You forget. You're not hungry in those moments. So that was a counterfeit urge. What you want to get good is catching those counterfeit urges. So you start identifying them. So from now on, when you start to feel this urge, you go, wait a second. Is this a counterfeit urge? Counterfeits don't control me. No, no, no. There is no such thing. There's nothing outside controlling you. You're the only reality. There's nothing else. But maybe a way to be funny and remind yourself of this is have a little dialogue. And what you might do is you might think of that urge and pretend that urge is somebody trying to scam you, some con man. Say, you cunning, scamming slime bag. I can see right through you. I can see what you're trying to do. It's not going to work because you don't exist and I do. I'm creating the body I deserve. You're not going to stop me. I'm in charge. You know, be a little outrageous with yourself. Break the pattern. If you just go, oh, yeah, I'm starting to feel like I'm hungry. Oh, yeah, better not do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I don't really want the chocolate. I really don't. No, I don't. That's never going to work. You got to be more outrageous. You got to break the pattern. You can't say, well, I could just have this one little piece because, after all, I didn't have any for the last 3 days, and I'm doing okay, and you know, I'm just a little piece. And besides that, I mean, after all, you know, this stuff's probably not that bad. Don't play these rationalization games. You start playing these little games inside your head and say, stop. Did you ever see the church lady on Saturday Night Live when she goes, could it be? You know, maybe you want to play that game with yourself. Could it be Satan? You know, what's going on here? You know, I'm not going to let anything outside me direct me. My higher self knows. I'm in charge here. Nothing can stop me. I'm on course. I'm winning. This is counterfeit. This is a con. I'm in charge. I'm not conning myself. And I'm not going to fall into any trap where I think something outside me is controlling me. So have fun with yourself. You know, make sure that you enjoy yourself. If you enjoy it, you're going to break the pattern. If you do it in some boring darn way, it won't change. So counterfeits don't control. You're in charge, okay? So that was C, and the I can do it frame. Here's A. A is ask. Ask yourself questions that'll break your pattern. Again, ask yourself, what will it cost me if I eat this? What do I have to give up to eat this stuff? If I was being honest with myself, what will this really do to my body? Is this what I would do if I was being my highest and best self? If I eat this, what is this saying about my own commitment to take care of myself? What is this saying to my children about what they should do? Get some leverage on yourself. Ask yourself some pain-associating questions at first, and then ask yourself the pleasure ones. What do I really want? What do I really want to feel? What do I really want to experience? What would be really good for me? What could be really good for me that I could also enjoy? What would be pleasurable? What would nourish me? What would give me energy? What could I do here that would be good for my body? Again, ask better questions. Ask yourself what it'll cost you, and what do you really want, and give it to yourself. Here's the N in the can portion of I can do it. N is now. Now breathe and move. If there's anything you want to do to immediately change your state, just remember something. Invariably, this desire to eat, if you're experiencing it at a level of intensity, is experienced in your body as sensations of tension and pressure. And you're eating to get rid of the tension and pressure. You put the food in, and sure enough, all that food goes in your stomach, the blood flows to your stomach, and you change your breathing, you change your body, the tension goes away. Well, you know what? You can change the tension just by breathing. Take some deep breaths. Simplistic as that sounds, and go move your body. Go for a walk. Breathe and walk. These things alone, and think about what you really want for your life. Their simple things will immediately change your state. Or do something more radical. Remember what a pattern interrupt is. Do something outrageous. Go for a walk and breathe like you do when you're having great sex. I know it sounds bizarre and outrageous, but do it. Maybe you want to model Meg Ryan on your walk. You know, in the movie Harry Met Sally, you know, and you start breathing like you're doing when you're having the greatest sex of your life while you're walking. Now, even if you don't make any noise, but you just change your breathing pattern while you're walking, I promise you, you won't be thinking about food when you get out of there. You'll think about being the person you love most in the world. It'll change your state. Be outrageous. Be playful. Do something you don't expect. And do it now. Now. Breathe and move. That should be something you're constantly thinking about. Anytime you start to get hungry, right now I need to breathe and move. That will change your state. Now, and I can do it. Let's go to the D. The D says drink some water and don't be a dog. What does that mean? Well, don't be like Sparky. Don't allow yourself to immediately have to respond because somebody rang a bell in the environment. You saw or smelled some food. You walked into that mall and smelled those cookies that Mrs. Fields had, and you found yourself gravitating over there like a robot. Don't be a dog. Don't be a stimulus response person. Drink some water. Drinking water will change physiology. It'll change the way you're feeling. It'll change your taste buds a little bit. And usually, what you really need are some liquids. So get some water in there. I know it sounds simple, but it's another simple way of breaking your pattern. And you know what else? It'll help nourish you. You know how important water was from the tape we talked about with the Living Health Principles. The O, and I can do it, stands for, oh, what a smell. One of the great ways to break your state is to immediately think of some smell that is raunchy and putrid and rotten and link it to this food you think you're going to eat. Think about it. Think of some food you're going to take in and just imagine this horrible smell being mixed with it, something you cannot stand. I don't care what it is. Think of something that will really change your state because smells change our state faster than almost anything else in our physiology. So think of that food. Imagine the smell. Think of that food. Imagine the smell. Think of that food. Imagine the smell. Pretty soon when you think of that food, you'll imagine the smell and you won't want the food. It'll change your state quickly. Oh, what a smell. You'll remember this one. And I can do it. The last two, I interrupt the pattern. There are lots of ways to interrupt the pattern, some of which we've already talked about. One of the ways to do that is to, instead of going for the food, go be with somebody you care about. Go do anything. Get yourself busy. Most people are bored because their mind isn't active, because they're not actively doing anything. When you're actively doing something, rarely do you think about food if you're really involved in it. So get busy. Do something fun. Get with somebody you really enjoy. Or just do anything to break the pattern. Second, you go brush your teeth. That'll change your focus. That'll change your taste buds. That'll change what's going on with you. Or go take a run. Or go take a shower or a jacuzzi. Do one of those things. Or I'll give you a good one. Go to the nearest mirror, hopefully in a bathroom. Take off your clothes and stick out your stomach and take a good look. That might break your pattern a little bit. Maybe you can't go take off all your clothes, but just go out and let your stomach just hang. Take a look behind you. Look at your rear. Look at your legs. Look at your body. And look at it and say, no more. Look at it and say, this is changing. Get intense. Break your pattern by giving yourself some new visual stimulus that's different than the food. These associations will help you to break the pattern. But most importantly, do something else that's productive. Go set it up so that when you feel hungry, you now go work out. When you feel hungry, now you go for a walk. You know, I found that a lot of the lunches I went on, if I would just go for a walk, I felt better. Especially if I went outside and breathed some fresh air. And you might say, oh, there's no fresh air where I am. Well, get outside anywhere. It's probably fresher than being stuck inside in most places. Make some change. That's I for interrupt the pattern. The last one is T. Trample the urge and target your desire. What does it mean? You know what? I think I'll leave that one for Dr. Booth. Nate will share that one with you when he goes through the process. I just want you to realize how many tools you got. You don't need all these. Pick one and use it. Or maybe two or three that you use. Create a variety. Make it your menu. This will be in your workbook, so you can tear it out of your workbook, put it in your wallet if you want, carry it around with you so you can remind yourself of all these ways to change your state. Just remember this. You are in control. Urges do not sneak in the middle of the night like viruses and take over your body. You are the one making it happen. You're the one who can change it. And what's exciting is you can increase the pleasure in your life massively by learning to get that pleasure, that emotional state change from things outside of food, and by realizing that food, unhealthy amounts of food, are the things that are cheating you. Those are the things that are denying you what you want most. They are the things depriving you, and that what you're doing now is giving yourself some new gifts. That's today's lesson. Step out of scarcity. Remember, there's nothing you can lose. The food you want will be here tomorrow. Have it tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, think, I don't need it. I'll have it tomorrow. And keep on moving it till tomorrow and procrastinate effectively. Use some of the tools that are in the wrong context in your life and put them in the right context. Now, I said that these sessions were going to be briefer. What happened here? That's a good question. I absolutely promise tomorrow will be shorter, but I hope you've enjoyed this. And I don't think length is what's most important. I think it's getting a message that can change our life. I hope today's session has done that for you. Thanks for your commitment. Thanks for your time. Here's Dr. Nate Booth, and until I visit with you again tomorrow, remember to live with passion.
Thanks, Tony. Carl Frederick said, "The key to the universe is that you can choose." That's what the Body You Deserve program is all about, to give you more choices in your life, not less. In certain areas of our lives, we all, at times, get conditioned to behave in ways that don't support who we really are and what we want to create. By playing full out in this program, you will break the negative conditioning that's been the roadblock to the body you deserve. Turn to the practical application section of your workbook under Day 8 and take a look at the first three exercises as I read the instructions. The first exercise is, in the blanks below, write how you increase your desire for food. In these blanks, write the mental and physical strategies that you use to increase your desire for food in that exercise that Tony did with you. In the next set of blanks, just write down how you decreased your desire for food. Then in the third set of blanks, write how you're going to utilize this knowledge to increase your desire for the foods that are going to get you to where you want to go, and to decrease your desire for those foods that are going to stand in your way. Right now, stop the tape and complete those first three exercises under Day 8. Welcome back. Let's move on to the fourth exercise now. In the blanks below, write a huge list of goodies that you can regularly give yourself that will healthfully make you feel good. To help you come up with some examples of this, what would you do in the next 10 minutes if you could just do anything you wanted? That would be one goodie for you. Come up with a complete list of things that you can easily give yourself. These can be gifts, or it can just be time out doing certain things, or it can be saying things mentally in your head and feeling a certain way. Or maybe imaginarily going to the mountains or going to the beach. It doesn't make any difference what it is, as long as you find it enjoyable and it can be an easily used replacement to give you those feelings that food used to give you. Another thing that Tony wanted me to do today was to work with you on the T of the You Can Do It set of urge crunchers. Remember, this is trample the urge and target your desire. Here's how we'd like you to trample your urge. Anytime you get an urge to eat an inappropriate food, here's what we'd like you to do. Picture a huge red stop sign, maybe even red flashing lights in your mind, and shout as loud as you can, "Stop it!" Then target your desire by seeing, hearing, and feeling your identity. You can picture your identity by getting an image in your mind as a comfortable, confident, in control, and trim person. Produce a big, bright, moving picture of yourself in some clothes that you'd really like to wear, and doing something you'd really like to be doing. Then say to yourself with emotion, "I have a trim body. I look great and feel fantastic." Then feel in your body that fantastic feeling of having a light, healthy, and trim body. Even send a little tingle up your spine. Let's move on to the next exercise of Day 8. You've just learned from Tony the I Can Do It set of urge crunchers. What we'd like you to do is, in those blanks, pick out a few of those urge crunchers that you're going to use. Write down your favorite urge crunchers and the situations in which you're going to use them. Stop your tape right now and do this exercise. Welcome back. Now let's move on to the last exercise. And this is an exercise that you've been doing every day so far, and I really want to emphasize it today. This is the section where you write down your reactions to the program, what you've learned so far about creating the body you deserve, and what you're absolutely committed to doing in the next 24 hours to make that body you deserve a physical reality. I'd strongly encourage you to do this every single day. You can also write in these blanks any positive changes that you've noticed. This can be either physical changes, emotional changes, spiritual changes, I don't care what it is. Any big or small improvement that you've noticed on your journey to the body you deserve. Also, along your journey to the body you deserve, it's extremely important that you burn your britches behind you. What do I mean by burning your britches behind you? When you move down a size of clothing, get rid of those bigger clothes. Give them to Goodwill, the Salvation Army, friends, whoever can use it, you don't need those clothes anymore. Now let's talk about what we call the fat transplant thoughts. Some of the thoughts that go through your head each day may be putting fat on your body just as surely if you had the fat surgically implanted at your local hospital. These are what we call the fat transplant thoughts. These are literally poison thoughts in your mind. The fat transplant thoughts represent a change in your mental focus for the worse. They usually amplify your urges and many times take them way out of control. Let's give you an example of this. Let's say it's 5:30, you've just gotten home from work, you're a little tired, it's been kind of a tough day at work, the kids are making some demands on you, and you're not really hungry yet. You're not physiologically hungry, but you've got that counterfeit cue signaling you to eat. Now, if this isn't bad enough, you can make it worse by thinking one or more of the fat transplant thoughts. As an example, one of our fat transplant thoughts are going to be, if it wasn't for my hectic situation, I could lose this weight. You toss that on top of the urge, you throw everything way out of kilter, and I can guarantee you that you'll be Dorito diving within the next 5 or 10 minutes. To qualify for a fat transplant thought, a thought has to meet two criteria. Number one, it can't make any sense. And number two, it leads you away from your fat loss goal. Goal-directed thoughts are the antidote for those poison thoughts. What we want to do right now is to expose you to some of these fat transplant thoughts and at the same time give you the antidote thoughts to replace in your mind when one of these suckers pops up. Here's fat transplant thought number one. I have to have that piece of pie. Consider two people who are equally hungry for a piece of pie. Person A says to himself, I have to have that piece of pie. Person B says to himself, I want that piece of pie real badly. Which person is more apt to have the pie? Probably person A. Person A put himself in a hopeless condition. He was powerless. He had to have that piece of pie like he has to have air. When you think about it, it doesn't make any sense at all. Person B was realistic about his urge to eat the piece of pie, but even more importantly, he gave himself an option. He gave himself a choice. He could either have the piece of pie or he could pass it up. Don't turn a want to into a have to. When I have to have a piece of pie pops into your head, immediately change it to I want a piece of pie. Now here are the antidote thoughts for that poison thought. Number one, I control my behavior to enhance my life. Number two, I choose what I eat and I make good choices. Number three, my daily choices lead to my goals. Here's fat transplant thought number two. This discomfort is going to last forever. Some people may experience varying degrees of hunger on a fat reduction program, but to think that it's going to last forever is to make a mistake for two reasons. First, the counterfeit cues that lead to counterfeit urges gradually lose their effect as you confront them and overcome them. Every time you don't pair eating with a cue, the cue loses a little bit of its power. The autopilot circuit in your brain that the cue has activated for all those years gradually breaks up. You begin to break the habit, and more importantly, you begin to form a new positive habit. Second, when you reach your goal, you'll be able to eat more. Many people don't experience an urge to eat excessively at all on this program. And even if you do, it's important to realize that it's not a 24-hour struggle. There are usually just a few critical decision points that may be a challenge to handle. Many times when totaled, these decision points add up to only maybe 30 minutes a day. When you start to think that the discomfort is going to last forever, remember that it will not. The antidote thoughts to follow up this poison thought are, when I'm a little hungry, I'm winning. Number two, I turn my challenges into opportunities. And number three, I'm prepared to meet my challenges. Fat transplant thought number three, I failed so many times in the past. It may be true that you didn't create the outcome you desired on numerous diets in the past, but that doesn't ensure your failure this time. Look back at those situations and see why they occurred. Was the diet too restrictive? Were you on a diet that might have been the prunes and milk duds diet? Maybe that was a little bit too restrictive. With the prunes and milk dud diet, maybe you haven't heard of this one yet, but see, you get the dairy products with the milk duds. You also get the exercise because you have the prunes in there. So remember that, the prunes and milk dud diet. Maybe you limited your eating too drastically. Did the program require you to do unusual things? Were you focusing on your weight instead of your behavior? Got a question for you. How many times does it take to succeed? It only takes once. There are basically two groups of people that are trying to lose fat from their body. Those who believe they can lose the fat and keep it off, and those who believe they can't lose the fat and keep it off. They're both right. Don't base your identity on your track record. When you do that, no change is possible. You're stuck. The past does not equal the future. The next time thoughts of failure pop into your head, immediately remember why you failed before and why you'll succeed this time. So when fat transplant thought number three I failed so many times in the past pops into your head, immediately replace it with the antidote thoughts. Number one, today is a winning day for me. Number two, I am doing it this time. And number three, my thoughts are positive and optimistic today. Here's fat transplant thought number four. There goes my program. I just blew it. Blew it baloney. The only way you can blow it, the only way you can fail, is to give up completely. No human is perfect, so quit trying to be perfect. Learn from every experience in your life, even the ones that seem bad at the time. It's in these experiences that the greatest lessons in life are learned. Learn your lesson and move on with passion and purpose. The antidote thoughts to think, if fat transplant thought number four, there goes my program, I blew it, pops into your head, are: one, I learned from every experience in my life. Number two, I'm like Winston Churchill. I never, never, never quit. And number three, I learn my lessons in life and move on to the next challenge. Here's fat transplant thought number five. I'm not losing fast enough. Just about everyone knows somebody who's losing a pound a day on some weird diet. Remember, your goal is to lose fat, not water or muscle tissue, both of which are lost on those crash diets. To find out what a pound of fat looks and feels like, pick up a pound of butter. If you could lose that much stuff off your body each week, how would you feel? Most people would be thrilled. So when you think you're not losing fast enough, remember that losing a pound a week is excellent progress for many people. Maybe you're even one of those people that a half a pound a week is all that your body's going to get rid of. If that's who you are, accept it and keep right on going. Remember that everybody is different. With this program, you're losing fat and learning how to control your behavior at the same time. The antidote thoughts to think, if I'm not losing fast enough, pops in your mind are: a pound of fat is a lot of stuff. Number two, I'm right on schedule. And number three, I'm in control and on target today. Next is fat transplant thought number six. I just don't have it. When you say you don't have it, you're saying that you don't have the ability to direct your life. If this were true, you would never show that ability in any area of your life. This is absolutely not true. If you've ever been on a fat reduction program and you stuck with that program for a week or even a day, it shows you that you do have that ability. So the next time you think you don't have it, remember you do have it when you use the right mental and physical strategies. The antidote thoughts to follow up that poison thought of I just don't have it are: number one, I take full responsibility for myself and my life. Number two, today is full of accomplishment and progress. And number three, I'm in control of my thoughts and actions. And finally, here's fat transplant thought number seven. This is horrible, terrible, I can't stand it. First of all, with this program, you can eat a lot of food. I know I started eating according to the Living Health Principles about 5 years ago. Up until that time, I always kept my weight about where I wanted it, but it was often a real struggle for me. I can tell you, you eat according to the Living Health Principles, the fat will come off your body, you'll feel great, and most of the time it'll be easy. Then, if this fat transplant thought number seven, this is horrible and terrible, I can't stand it, pops into your mind, remember what something really horrible is. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a very, very small problem, and 10 being the worst thing you could possibly imagine, where does the possible discomfort of one person losing fat off their body fall? It probably falls around a 1, 2, or 3. Save words like horrible and terrible and phrases like I can't stand it for the really bad stuff. Use words such as uncomfortable and phrases like I don't like it to describe how you're feeling when you're a little hungry. So if you ever do think that creating a trim body is horrible and terrible, think of what a real 10 is and change your rating to a more appropriate one. And what would happen if the whole process were actually enjoyable? Here are the antidote thoughts to follow up fat transplant thought number seven. Number one, I meet my challenges head on. Number two, I enjoy facing challenges that make me a better person. And number three, I'm achieving important outcomes today. So now that we've identified the first seven fat transplant thoughts, We want to condition this switch into your body. And here's how we're going to do it. What we'd like you to do right now is to identify one, two, maybe three of those first seven fat transplant thoughts that pop into your mind, amplify your urges, lead to behaviors that don't get you to where you want to go in life. Identify those right now, stop your tape, and write those in your workbook. Okay, welcome back. Now here's what we'd like you to do. I'd like you to take that first pairing of the fat transplant thought and the appropriate goal-directed thought, and we're going to condition the switch. And here's how we're going to do it. Right now, put yourself in a very unresourceful physiology. Just follow along with me as I do this. Put yourself in a very unresourceful physiology. Maybe have your head down, your eyes down, slump your shoulders, breathe real shallowly. And in that unresourceful physiology, think that first fat transplant thought in your mind. Just run it through in your mind, and when you get to the end of it, immediately change your physiology. Sit up straight, throw your shoulders back, put a smile on your face, breathe real deeply. Put yourself in a resourceful physiology and immediately kick into that goal-directed, that antidote thought. Good. Now let's move on to the second pairing. Put yourself in an unresourceful physiology. Hold it there for a second. Think that second fat transplant thought. Now, when you get to the end of the sentence, boom, change your physiology, sit up straight, resourceful physiology, smile on your face, eyes wide open, breathing deeply, and immediately come through with that goal-directed antidote thought. Great. Now, let's move on to number three. If you had three fat transplant thoughts down there, let's move on to the third pairing. Put yourself in a very unresourceful physiology. Head down, eyes down, really feel crummy. Think that fat transplant thought. Think it all the way through, and then when you get to the end of the sentence, boom, change your physiology again. Sit up straight, put a smile on your face, eyes wide open, breathe deeply, and think the appropriate goal-directed thought. Condition this switch. Condition the change. You need more than just information in this program. You need a change in your conditioning so that when that fat transplant thought pops in your mind in the future, you'll immediately have conditioned yourself to change the physiology. The other thought will pop into your mind, and you'll move on from there. Tomorrow, you'll listen to your audio tapes, read in your workbook, and go back to your video again and begin viewing right where you left off yesterday. This will be the second section of your daily mental aerobics. Okay, let's move on to our regular bookkeeping exercises today. Remember again today to complete your eating diary and your eating and exercise log. These should be put out in a place that you see in your daily routine. You might even want to tape it to your front door. No, not to your front door, but the bathroom door might be a great choice. Also, be sure to read day 8 in the workbook and complete any exercises under the practical application section. It's quotation time again, kids. And one of my favorite all-time quotes is from a guy by the name of Vernon Howard. He said, "Who asks a king for a penny?" If you were going to ask a king for money, you wouldn't ask for a penny. You'd ask for 100 gold pieces or maybe more. Your life is like the king. It has the potential to give you whatever you ask of it. I've got a question for you. Have you been asking too little of life? Asking too little just because that's what everybody else is doing? Or asking too little just because you've gotten into a rut? Ruts are dark, lonely places. There's only two directions you can go, and what's worse, if the rut's deep enough, you can't see over the edges to view the kingdom. If you've been playing full out with Tony and me in this program, I know you're out of the rut and on the road to success. Congratulations, and keep that momentum going.